Rishus, the Rosh HaYeshiva, members of the Yankelevich family, Talmidim of Rav Yankelevich, Talmidei HaYeshiva, we're gathered here tonight for an evening of Azkara, an evening to remember, to think about, to hear about the life of our revered senior Rosh HaYeshiva, Rav Gershon Yankelevich, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's very important to show Kavod Hames for this important leading Torah figure and role model for the Bnei HaYeshiva. The Akdama to the Ein Yaakov cites a Medrash regarding Machlokas as to what's the most central pasuk of the Torah that encapsulates all the messages. Ben Zoma says it's the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Ben Nana says it's the pasuk of Yehavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And Shimon ben Pazi is quoted as saying, "Hakeves achat taseh b'boker, as a keves hashini taseh ben harabayim." So it's clear that the first two ideas, the first two psukim for Ben Zoma and Ben Nanas, Shema Yisrael, v'hafta l'recha kamocha, those are central. If you ask any child, you say, "Does it make sense that maybe this encapsulates everything?" They maybe say yes, maybe be on a list that you would ask a child. But what's pshat in Shimon ben Pazi? So the Ba'al Musar explained. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, as a keves echa taseh b'boker, as a keves hashin taseh ben harbayim, relay the message of consistency, of the day in, the routine, the day in and the day out. The korban tami was brought in the morning and brought in the afternoon. There were no breaks, and it's the idea of the true growth, the growth that's going to stay with the person. It's not just a flash of lights once in a while. They feel an inspiration and they do something. But it's the keves echa taseh b'boker, it's the keves hashini taseh ben harbayim. Staying with the daily schedule, with one sets out goals, and to meet those goals, and to continuously work at them and plod and lay again and again and again. I think this idea, in some ways, may represent what Rav Yankelevich was for our yeshiva, the idea of consistency. The idea of day in and day out, coming to yeshiva, giving shiurim to the talmidim of the yeshiva, keeping to the schedule. Nothing could stop him traveling into yeshiva every day for decade after decade after decade after decade after decade. And it's very important for the talmidei yeshiva who are able to see him, to see this consistency, to see this avodas Hashem of plodding away again and again and always being consistent in what he had to do. To this extent, one of the Talmidim from last year even mentioned that it could be that last year the Talmud missed more shiurim than Rav Yankelevich over the course of the year because maybe the Talmud was out when he was sick. Even though the Talmud was more than 80 years younger, one would think much healthier. Rav Yankelevich came in day after day to yeshiva to give the shiurim to be in the yeshiva. And we will dearly miss Rav Yankelevich as a role model for his midos, his avodas Hashem, as a Baal Musar. It was mentioned the yeshiva already at the beginning of the Zman, and it's important that even though many Talmidim were not here yet during the time of Levaya, it's important that the Talmidei yeshiva and the Chlal are here as well, that the Musar Seder that we add for Chodesh Elul between 10 and 10:15 when we daven Marv during Elul is the Ili Nishmaso, should be a zechus for him, should be a zechus for the yeshiva, that these 15 minutes extra of Musar that we dedicate in honor of Yankelevich, and it should be a zechus for everyone here as well. I'd like to call upon Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Kol, Rosh Shechter to speak as well.
The Gemara has a discussion regarding the nature of a hesped. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that a hesped is considered kavod hames, and if the mace is mechal on his kavod, so you don't deliver a hesped. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that one. When the Pnei Yeshua passed away, he left instructions that they shouldn't deliver any hesped, so they were going to follow the instructions. So the Nadi Yehuda said that it's not correct. That the only time you say that a hesped is only kavod hames, that's if it's a poshut person. But if it's a big talmid chacham, then it's certainly kavod hachaim. We brag about the fact that we knew this person. that we learned in the same yeshiva with him, where he's Talmidim and so on. So this is certainly a Kavod HaChaim. Forget about the Kavod HaMeisim. Certainly a Kavod HaChaim that we are delivering Hespedim for this unusual Talmud Chochem. The Torah tells us in Parshas Kisava, V'halachta B'drochav, we're supposed to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that all of us have already. We have to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we were all created with Tzelem Elokim. Then the next passage continues, Ro kalami ha'aretz, when all the Yisraelim will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that you have succeeded in retaining your Tzelem Elokim, you observed your Tzelem Elokim, but Yoram Mekel, they will learn from you how to act with Yir HaShemayim. So part of a halach de bedrocha, Gemara says, Mahu chanan, Mahu rachum, Mahu kevim mesim, Mahu mevaka chelam, and so on. Part of a halach de bedrocha is to be a tzanua. The Novi Yishaya describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a kel mistater. He hides all the time. He does such a good job at hiding. There's so many who don't even believe that he's there, that there is anybody. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tremendous tzanua. And part of a halach de bedrocha requires that we should act in a fashion of tznius. Our Rebbe was a very, very private person. He would always play down his accomplishments and his acquaintances, whom he knew in Europe and whom he learned by and so on. He would always knock everything down. He was extremely tzanua. He was tzanua in his Brumkeit as well. The Litvische Bali Musar used to have an expression that they used to consider Brumkeit Achisorin. Brumkeit means outward demonstration of one's piety. So they used to say an expression, Agalach has to be Frum, Ayid has to be Erlach. Agalach has to advertise how pious he is. Ayid has to be Erlach. He never saw Rav Yankelevich walking with tzitzis down to his knees. He never saw him bragging about his chumris, whatever. There's a fascinating book by an American Talmud Chacham, a Rav, who passed away a few years ago. He wrote a book that he as a teenager, his parents sent him to learn in Tells for 8 years. And he says there was an Erev in Tells. He doesn't know the 8 years whether the Rosh Yeshiva carried in the Erev. They didn't carry in the Erev. They never spoke about it. It was nobody's business whether they did carry or they didn't carry. This rabbi who wrote this book is complaining that where he lives there's an Erev that was made by Prime Minister Talmid HaChachamim, and other people brag about the fact we don't carry in the Erev. They advertise the fact. That wasn't the Litvish style. They considered from Kaita Chisarn. The Gemara in Bava Metzia learns that from a pasuk, "Hayidaita lehem asaderech hashiyelchu bo v'samasa ashe ya'asun." So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk that one has to go lifnei mishur esadin. So in Chayshe Mishpot, there are more quotes in Machlokes Harishonim whether you kaife on lifnei mishur esadin. You kaife on all the mitzvahs. So why shouldn't you be kaife on lifnei mishur esadin? You learn that from a pasuk. You're supposed to go lifnei mishur esadin. So the Harishonim count that as one of the tayag mitzvahs to go lifnei mishur esadin. So remember, I heard from a big Talmud Chacham many years ago, to fulfill if Nimeshu Es Hadin has to be Benediva Salev. If you're going to be koi for the person, and he doesn't want to do if Nimeshu Es Hadin, so he's not going to be Yaitz in the midst, if it doesn't come from the Diva Salev. Midas Chasidus, and these kind of things, it has to come, the person has to feel that he's up to that. They say the name of Rav Amital, I never heard from him, but they say in his name, that when he was a Talmud in the yeshiva learning, so he would learn the Mishnah Berurah, and it says, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzma, so he thought, oh, that goes on that one, that goes on this one. And today, every bacher in yeshiva says, oh, Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzma, that means me. I'm the Bal Nefesh. A person learned it long enough till he becomes a big Talmud Chacham, then he is a Bal Nefesh. Then once he becomes a big Talmud Chacham, he should be Machmer Al Atzma. But every Tom, Dick, and Harry should think that he's the Bal Nefesh, and everyone should be Machmer at everything. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So our Rebbe was quite a tzanua. Whatever chumras he observed, he wouldn't advertise. There was a whole group. I remember one of the Talmidim who learned in Europe in the Meir Yeshiva told me that they used to refer to those who were in the Bayis Rishon and those who were in the Bayis Sheni. Those who were under the influence of the first Mashgiach, Rabbi Yeruchim Lubavitz, and those who were under after Yeruchim passed away, and Rabbi Chatzkel became the Mashgiach. So those who were under the influence of Rabbi Yeruchim all had a certain style in speaking, mannerisms and standing, a whole style of Havayas. I remember when my mother-in-law passed away, so I met Rabbi Elia Yurkansky. So he asks me, how's your Shviger doing? So I said, she just passed away. So he says, you didn't hear? Where are they sitting? Shvi's going to come to be Menachem. So he came. So my brother-in-law was sitting in one room, and all the sisters were sitting in the other room. So they live in Flatbush. So everybody came, all the men came to me, Menachem Avah, they're Menachem Avah, my brother-in-law. And no one walked in, no one talks to women. So no one walked in to be Menachem Avah by the women. Bel Yerikansky came. He said he was going to come. He was an old man. He came. He was Menachem Avah by my brother-in-law. Then he goes into the other room. He's not embarrassed to speak to women. And the way he was standing by the door and speaking to them, my wife could have sworn that it was her father. They all had a certain style. Probably, maybe they picked it up from the Chafetz Chaim, I don't know, but we had the impression that it was the Hashpo of Rabbi Yeruchim. The Mashgiach was so, had such an influence on all the Talmidim. He had a bigger influence than the Rosh Yeshiva, the Magid Yeshiva, who gave the Shur. Mashgiach had a tremendous influence, very soft-spoken, a style of Hanhoga. I was a Talmud of Rav Yankelevich before my bar mitzvah, Yeshiva Ketana. My family lived in Philadelphia. My parents sent me to New York to stay by my grandparents, and I learned in Salanta Yeshiva. So now we have a phenomenon that people sit and learn in the Kollel, and they know how to learn very well, and it's beneath their dignity to take anything lower than a smicha shir, or a college shir. High school shir, that's beneath their dignity. Elementary school, man char shmei, what shaykh to take. So I remember many years ago, a group of European Rosh Yeshiva signed a Kol Koyri, encouraging, remember, I think from Mendel Zak signed it, from Moshe Feinstein, Bianchi Kamenetsky, many prominent Rabbonim signed a Kol Koyri, encouraging the people who learn in Koylalim to please take positions to teach in elementary school. They shouldn't consider it beneath their dignity. The Prima Godim was such a Pesik Mefursim. He writes that he was a Malamed Dardiki. He taught little children. And it starts off in the beginning of the Igeris, about how do you translate when you teach Tanakh to the children, how do you translate this word, how do you translate, starts Aleph Beis, how do you translate Afarsimon, how do you translate Botnim, how do you translate Gidi, elementary things. He taught Chumash and he taught Tanakh. I remember I learned Chumash and Rashi by Rav Yankelevich. We learned Haskalah's Gemara. We learned Gemara and Rashi. We learned Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara says, a person should have the attitude, Pshot and Delta Beshuka. He should take even a demeaning position to make up an us. He shouldn't say, Gavar Rabba Hano. Shouldn't say, it's beneath my dignity. It wasn't beneath Rabbi Yankelevich's dignity. The Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Yud Ches and Beis comments on the Pasuk. L'havda bin HaKodesh ha-Bein HaChol. L'horis is B'nai Yisrael. And then it says, Ishi Kisah Zvir B'yolda Zohar. So the Gemara has a memory from Rabbi Yechon called Amavdel ala Yayin b'matzvay Shabbosos Havyan l'bonim ru'uyim l'hoi ro'a. Based on this Pasuk. Havda bin HaKodesh ha-Bein HaChol. L'horis is B'nai Yisrael. Ishi Kisah Zvir B'yolda Zohar. So someone once told me over a drasha from Ram Soloveitchik on that Gemara, what's the connection between making Havdalah and having Bonim Ruim Lohairoa? So he said, Al Derech Hadrush, that many have the meaning when you recite Havdalah, you fill up the cup, not just Moli Al Kol Dos, until it flows over, overflows. So he says, a Rebbe who's teaching Talmidim, if he's only going to be 10 lessons ahead of the Talmidim, so he's not going to be a good Rebbe. Rebbe has to be light years ahead of the Talmidim. A Rebbe has to be like Havdalah. You fill up the cup and it overflows. And the Rebbe is telling the Talmidim the overflowing part. The whole cup is all full that he doesn't tell the Talmidim. It's the fallout that you have. When you drop a bomb, So the bomb drops over here, and then you have fallout in the vicinity. The Rebbe's teaching the Talmidim has to be light years ahead of the Talmidim. I was learning Chumash and Rashi in elementary school, and the Rebbe knew all the Rashi's from the Gemara. He didn't have to figure it out now. He knew all the Gemara's. I remember my children learned in elementary school, so I would study with them for an exam. So I remember one of the children had a bechina on Parshas Mishpatim. So I said, what's the Mevel Odis? He didn't know what I was talking about. So I said, I started to tell, oh yeah, he knows that. He just didn't know that it's called the Mevel Odis. A Rebbe has to know what the Loshon is. To be able to have in the Siddur, it says, every bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, it says, Oviz Gvuras Kedushas Hashem, Bina, every bracha, Slicha, every bracha has a name. The baby has to have a name. When you teach Chumash, you have to teach with the terminology of the Torah Shebaal Peh. I was in elementary school right after the war, so my rabbeim were all refugees who came from Europe, had learned in yeshivas all their lives. We should all, those who prepare themselves to go into chinuch, should realize you have to be years ahead of the Talmidim. Just going to be 5-10 lessons ahead of the Talmidim is just not going to work. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yankelevich, was such a Rebbe. He was light years ahead of all of the Talmidim, and that's why he was successful in teaching. He taught us Bava Kamma, quite a few dafim. We learned Bava Kamma with Rashi. We learned Chumash. I remember some of the things on Chumash also. Yehi Zichro Baruch.
Rosh Hashiva v'chanan Abba.
Shus and Avsechter, Chalap, Rosh Yeshiva, Nalef HaYeshiva, members of the Mishpacha, Talmidei HaYeshiva. I was never formally a Talmid of Yankelevich Tzrechet Tzadik of Racha. But I did have the merit to have a shtickle sheiches, small sheiches with him. Rav Yankelevich, who learned in Radin, knew my maternal grandfather, who also learned under the Chafetz Chaim. Over the years, I've tried many times to expose Talmidim to the hidden treasure that we had in the yeshiva whenever possible. A few years ago, Rav Yankelevich Zatzal graced my shir's Chanukah Mesiba, and share beautiful Divrei Torah. More recently, I arranged for several Talmidim to learn with Rav Yankelevich the Sefer Das Torah of Rav Yerucham Levavitz and Miriam Mashkiach. And then about 2 years ago, I started meeting myself with Rav Yankelevich each week on Thursday for about 30 to 45 minutes, and we would learn the Sefer Das Torah of Yerucham. But none of this qualifies me to capture the essence of our Rebbe. B'tchilu urechimu, I offer these words in the spirit of Divrei Harocha, so that the Talmidei HaYeshiva can gain a bit of an appreciation of the great treasure that we had in our midst. Chazal tell us, Yitzias Tzadik min hamakom ose roshem. Tzadik's departure leaves an impression. The impression is described in terms of three aspects: Hod, Ziv, and Hadar. When a tzaddik is present, Hu Hoda, Hu Ziva, Hu Hadara. When a tzaddik leaves, Pana Hoda, Pana Ziva, Pana Hadara. The Maral in Gur Aryeh on the Rashi in Vayetze explains that the three expressions, Hoda, Ziva, and Hadara, correspond to three different realms of a tzaddik's influence. There's Yiras Shamayim, there's Chachma, and there's Midos Tovos. Hod, which comes from the word praise or thanks, refers to the quality of Yiras Shamayim, which by its very nature is worthy of praise, of accolades, as the pasuk says, Isha Yiras Hashem, he tishalo. Ziv, which means splendor, represents Chachma, as the pasuk says, Chachmas Adam Toyer Panav. Hadar, which connotes beauty, Sheinkeit, is a reference to Midos Tovos, just as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos describes Tiferes Leoseha, a beauty for one who displays them. For almost 60 years, our yeshiva was zocha to have a tzaddik in our midst who exemplified each of these aspects to the fullest. The Yiras Shamayim of Rav Yankelevitz was palpable. His meticulousness in Shmiras HaMitzvos, Kala Kevachamura, as was mentioned already by others, he would stand for Kriyas HaTorah well past his 100th birthday. He would make sure to wash Netilas Yadayim for Tefillah, not rely on having done so in the morning. And as recently as his past Tisha B'Av, he insisted on sitting on the ground like everyone else. And when his son, Rav Moshe Zangezunt, who I have a kesher with, objected, he said, "This is how I always did it." His Torah, Rav Yankelevitz left notebooks and notebooks filled with Chidushei Torah, including shiurim that he heard from the Brisker Rav. We never heard about it. He gave it over. His asmada was remarkable. He could sit literally for hours, at the age that he was, over a Gemara. And his chavrusas would go for coffee breaks and he would continue learning. And all the Torah that he taught the many Talmidim over the years. And finally, the Midos Tovos, extraordinary Midos Tovos. Rav Yankelevitz was a gentleman in every sense of the word. He was always quick to offer compliments and express his genuine sense of appreciation. There was a reception a few months ago at the home of President Joel. Rav Yankelevitz was there, and at one point he turned to Mrs. Bronstein, the wife of Rabbi Chaim Bronstein, the administrator in Reitz. He said, "So much of the yeshiva rests on the shoulders of your husband." He had the presence to make the comment. And he could never be heard saying a word of Lashon Hara or speaking badly about anybody. There's a Wayu Musmach who recently retired from the rabbinate. He lives with me in Passaic. He shared with me, I knew he learned by Rav Yankelevitz. So he said, "I had him as a Rebbe 50 years ago in MTA. And what I recall the most was that Rav Yankelevitz never raised his voice in class." But it's more than that. As again, son Rav Moshe said to me, he never raised his voice at all. His passing leaves an indelible void within yeshiva. Pana hoda, pana ziva, pana hadara. But for Rav Yankelevitz, these three components were not discrete aspects of his personality. They were part of an organic whole, and they were inseparable from one another. The Hadar, the extraordinary Menschlichkeit in Derech Eretz, was not separate from his Torah and Yiras Shamayim. His Torah, his Yiras Shamayim, and his Midos Tovos were Chativa Achas, an integrated entity. Rav Yankelevitz was an integrated personality. He embodied a sense of Shleimus, like a polished diamond. There were no rough edges. It's impossible to truly appreciate the greatness of a Rebbe without understanding the world that shaped him. Rav Yankelevitz was molded by the great yeshivas in Litta, primarily Radin and Mir, and he was deeply impacted by the Musav movement, whose ideals permeated the Kosrei HaYeshiva. Musar and the work of Tikkun HaMidos wasn't divorced from Talmud Torah, it was part and parcel of the same enterprise. Just as amelus, sweat and toil, was extended in analyzing sugya after sugya in Shas, so did amelus go into dissecting the sugya of Shviras HaMidos, exercising self-discipline in refining one's personality and character. Musa taught that there should be no bifurcation within one's personality, no difference between Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LaChavero, between how one behaves in public among people and how one behaves behind closed doors. Rav Yankelevitz was a product of the world of Musar. While in Radin, he was privileged to be Meshamish the Chavetz Chaim, the end of the life of the Chavetz Chaim, and later on he became attached to the Nir Mashgiach Rabbi Yeruchim, who svarim literally lo pasku miyal shulchanai. They wouldn't leave his table. Even more than Radin, it was the experience of Mir that left a lifelong impact on Rav Yankelevitz and his personality. Of all the great yeshivas in Europe, only the Mir yeshiva managed to miraculously survive the ravages of the war, largely intact, escaping first to Kobe, Japan, and then to Shanghai before being transplanted in America, in Brooklyn, and in Eretz Yisrael. The miraculous nature of that story is well documented. The years in Shanghai were incredibly defining and enormously productive. The phenomenal growth in Torah and Musar that was experienced in that protected enclave, that haven, was surreal. And the bonds that were forged among those who were there were everlasting. The Talmidim of Mir, who lived through this Kufa, are known as the Altamir. There's a famous picture of them learning in the Beis Medrash of Shanghai with almost all of the names accounted for. Rav Yankelevitz, who was already then in his 30s at the outbreak of the war, was looked upon as being from the Alta Bacharim. After all, he had been in the Mir and heard shmuzim from Rav Yeruchim, who had been nifter in the early 30s, 1934. In my youth, I was zochet to learn in Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, where many of my rabbeim were Alta Mir. And over the years, I've encountered a fair share of Altamir in various places. But even as Altamir go, there was something about Rav Yankelevitz Zatzal that stood out. And it's not just my own observation. I have a neighbor in the Lower East Side that I still visit, and he brought Talmidim to visit with him. He was from a little younger generation, Rav Moshe Pivovitz, Yibodel Chaim Toivin. And I spoke to him earlier today, and I asked him for some recollections of Rav Yankelevitz. And he told me that for the 5 years in Shanghai, he sat right next to him during davening. And he said to me, he recalled a conversation he had with Rav Shimon Ram, who was a Rosh Yeshiva here, and Rav Yankelevitz, Rav Gershon Yankelevitz's name came up. And Rav Pivovitz told me that he told Rav Shimon Ram, if you want to know what a real mirror was, look at Rav Gershon Yankelevitz. He was always calm. He never was angry, never got excited. His language, he epitomized the mir. For Rav Yankelevitz, Musa wasn't just an intellectual exercise, it was a way of life. Rav Yeruchim Smuzin weren't just veritlach to say over. They were values of life that he personified and he internalized. Those who are familiar with Rav Yeruchim Smuzin know that the notion of shleimus, the integrated personality, is a recurring and favorite theme of Rabbi Yeruchim. That Yankelevitz of Tzal embodied that sense of shleimus, because he was a living Musa Sefer. How did this sense of shleimus manifest itself here on these shores in our yeshiva? Rabbi Yankelevitz lived his life with a cheshbon. Everything he did was carefully thought out. In Yiddish, the word would be oiske cheshbon. He had an impeccable sense of yashrus and a deep achrayis to his avodas hakodesh, as you heard already. Almost until his 100th birthday, he traveled to yeshiva each day from his home in the Bronx by two buses, and he walked a few blocks from 181st Street. It was only several years ago that yeshiva arranged for him to travel to and from yeshiva with a car service. When his Rebbetzin was nifter several years ago, he decided against going to Eretz Yisrael for the Hakamas Matseva. Not because he wasn't up to the trip. He actually traveled subsequently to Eretz Yisrael for a family simcha. But because it would mean that he'd have to miss giving shir for several days. During the summer break, Rav Yankelevitz would spend hours each day preparing the mesichta that the yeshiva was planning to learn the following zman. Just this past June, I received a call from Rabbi Aaron Hirschman, who has been the person who shamus for Rabbi Yankelevitz since the passing of the Rebbetzin. He called to check with me which parak of Ksuvis the yeshiva was learning. So I said, we're learning the third parak, Eunaris. So then I later heard Rabbi Yankelevitz had originally begun learning the first parak with one of his grandchildren, when he heard that Yeshiva was learning Elunaris, he immediately switched his Seder Limud to Elunaris. The car service generally picked him up from his home at about 9:30. He would arrive here somewhere between 9:45 and 10:15, depending on traffic, and the car would park just outside the parking lot across the street. Sometimes I would arrive at around the same time, and I'd be lucky enough to escort Rav Yankelevitz from the car to his office in First Hall, room 508. Often Rav Goldwicht, sometimes another Rebbe, would be there to help him walk to his office, and on many occasions, the schus went to his devoted driver, Virgilio. Even at the age of 104, Rav Yankelevitz did not use a cane or a walker. Rather, he held on to the elbow of whoever was helping him, and he made the trek from the parking lot, down the block, up the stairs, into the building, to the elevator, and up to his office. Rav Yankelevitz would spend several hours each day in his office learning, and various Talmidim would stream in at different times to learn from him, to hear shir from him. I would typically visit Rav Yankelevitz in his office on Thursdays. We would learn Sefer Das Torah for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. There was something surreal and extraordinary about learning with a gadol of this caliber, someone who still had his wits about him at the age of 103, 104. He'd read each word aloud with his heavy Litvish accent, including the Mar Mokom that appeared within the parentheses. And after concluding a paragraph or two, he would look up and he'd say, so what is he saying? And he would prompt me to summarize the main points of this paragraph in the one sentence or two sentences. And then I started to look forward to this time together every week and became a highlight of my week. And so much so that after his man ended in mid-June, I came to his house and we learned together in his home. At the Chag HaSmicha this past March, as the Rosh Yeshiva marched onto the stage, everyone was told to find the chair with his name on it. For some strange reason, I could not find the chair with the name Adler. One of the administrators, Mr. Jeffrey Rosengarten, noticed the problem and immediately stood up from his seat. He motioned for me to sit down where he was. As Hashgacha Pratis would have it, this seat was to the immediate right of Rav Yankelevitz. The Chag HaSmicha lasted for several hours, and Rav Yankelevitz stayed throughout. At about 5 or 6 points along the way, there were musical interludes, and everyone in the auditorium stood up. To my surprise, each and every time, Rav Yankelevitz turned toward me, and he turned to Rav Meir Twersky, who was on his left, and he motioned to us to help him up. Despite his age and his health, he did not want to deviate from Minag HaMakom. As Chazal say, Al Tihi Yoshev Bein HaOmdin. But that's not all. At the conclusion of the Chag HaSmicha, each of the 200 plus musmachim came up to the stage to be acknowledged and to shake hands with the various Rosh Yeshiva. This part of the proceeding must have taken a good half hour. For the entire duration, Rav Yankelevitz stood there, supported by myself and Rav Meir Twersky, and as each new musmach passed in front of him, Rav Yankelevitz extended his hand and wished Hatzlach. That's the essence of a musar personality. Of all the remarkable qualities, I think the one that stands out the most was the anava. Rav Yankelevitz didn't simply preach anava, he lived it, he breathed it. He carried himself with an incredible pashtus, and that was his godless. He was tocho kibaro, with no ears about him. What for most of us would be a prises hakavod meant nothing to him. Not because he didn't have a sense of dignity, to the contrary, he had a certain regal, aristocratic quality to him. It's just that the kinds of things that are petty things that get most of us annoyed were simply not important. He could make efforts to attend a simcha without the slightest thought about getting a kibud, because receiving kavod was not on his radar screen. His attitude toward life was very positive. He had a wonderful sense of humor and not an ounce of cynicism. He treated everyone, young and old, with respect. He would freely compliment the Talmidei HaYeshiva, saying things like, "You are tops." He had tremendous hakaras hatov to the yeshiva for providing him with the opportunity to learn and to teach. Again, Rav Moshe's son shared with me the following. Each year, the last day of the Zman, he would come in to gather his belongings from his office. There was Sfarim that had to be returned to the library, and he would comment about how wonderful it was that the library would allow a person, a faculty, to take out a sefer for 6 months. The chidush to him. He appreciated it. And then there was Sfarim that had to go back to the Beis Medrash. And then he made an account of everything he needed to take with him. He would take leave of his office. He'd kiss the mezuzah. And he'd express a tefillah to the Rabboni Shel Olam that he should have the schus and the koyach to return after the summer and to continue giving shir for another year. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Peches HaMedeis, Sholchu Mitan, Ezehu Ben Olam Haba, Anderson, Shval Berech, Shayif Ayel, Shayif Nofik, Goris Beraisa Tudira, Vlemachzik, Tivusa Lenafshe. Who is a Ben Olam Haba? Someone who is modest and humble, enters bowing, leaves bowing, Goris Beraisa Tudira, learns Torah all the time, and does not take credit for oneself. The ultimate tribute, Lemachzik Tivusa Lenafshe, that epitomized of Yankelevitz. The sense of anava, not to hold himself as special. People would ask for brachas all the time. He felt uncomfortable. I was zeicher this past Chol HaMoed Pesach. I brought my children to visit in the house of his son Rav Yankel in Muncie, Zozan Gizund. With the coaxing of his daughter-in-law, we were able to get a bracha. At the Nichma Velim, Rav Yoel said, he wants to ask his father, Papa, why are you so reluctant to give brachas? And Rav Yankelevitz responded the most amazing thing. I'm afraid if I start doing that, I'll become a Baal Gaiva. That comment says it all. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, V'lanovim yitein chen. Rav Yankelevitz was blessed with an incredible sense of chen. If you knew him, you loved him. If you were in his presence, you felt embraced by his positive energy. Chazal tell us there's a list of things for which the main reward is in Olam Haba, but it bears dividends in Olam Hazeh. Eilu dvarim shadamocha pirsein b'olam hazeh v'aten kayemes olam haba. Rav Yankelevitz was zeichet, who was ma'asim tovim, to reap peiros in Olam Hazeh. He was zeichet to the gift of arichas yamin, with all of his wits about him until the end. He, along with his Rebbetzin Bruma, Aleihu Shalom, raised a family of 7 children, banim, uvnei banim, oskim, the Torah Gemilas Chasadim. I recall the Rebbetzin once mentioning to me on one occasion how proud she was of the fact that every one of her children are involved in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. He was able to participate in many family simchas, even traveling to Eretz Yisrael a few short years ago, past his 100th birthday. This is not sheer coincidence. It's not a function of good DNA. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mala min hateva. We at Yeshiva Sabbein Yitzhak Elchanan were zeiche for all these many years to have a giant in our midst. Someone who offered a window into the Torah world of the past. Someone who bore the imprint of the Mesorah in every fiber of his being. Someone who was a walking Musa Sefer, whose Torah, Yerushalayim, and Ma'asim Tovim were all fashioned from the same cloth, were part of one Chativa Achas, one integrated personality. One integrated Musa personality, someone who personified the Midah of Anova, whose godless was contained within his Pashtus. We, the Talmidim, have an achrayis to reflect on what he stood for, to strive to live our own lives with that sense of Shleimus, with the genuine Anova that epitomized his life. Chazal say, Gdolim Tzadikim b'misasa n'yosim b'chayeyen. Tzadikim have enormous hashpoya on the world even after the soul leaves their bodies. May Rav Yankelevitz be a melech yosher for his family, for his talmidim, for our yeshiva, for all Kal Yisrael. We will miss him deeply. Chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtakhin yizdech lo'i baruch.
Rav Yoel Yankelevitz.
just a Rishivas Talmidim my father loved so much. I was preceded by two Rishivas who were always part of my life, some more, some less, but Rabbi Schechter, Rishiva, grew up with that name always, and he definitely so succinctly defined my father from his perspective, and Rabbi Adler so eloquently that I'm almost left with most of my speech missing. So you'll forgive me for some duplication. There were numerous articles that I saw in the last 2 weeks that tried, and quite eloquently, to portray who my father, Lev Shalom, was. The universal feeling that they gave over and that we heard at the Levaya summed him up to be a person who personified a living Torah and an educator par excellence. He was all that, but the part that I can add to what the Rishivas spoke about is from the perspective of a son growing up in the home. I can still picture my earliest memories of living in a one-bedroom apartment, and there were ultimately 5 children there. My father waking us up early before he went off to Salanti Yeshiva, saying brachas, then leaving with a little paper bag, brown paper bag of his food, lunch for the day. After teaching in Salanter, he'd go off to Reb Mendel Zaks's kollel on the west side and came back after we were sleeping. That was a regular day. Then came Shabbos, Yom Menucha. But from the first day, even in that little apartment, there was never a Friday night that there weren't Talmidim who came consistently. I left home when I was almost 14 to go off to yeshiva and spend 13 years away from home. But all those years till I left, every single Friday night, there were bachrim who came, rain or shine, blizzard or not, to their credit too. But there was never a Friday night that I realized now when I was sitting shiva, there was never a Friday night that my father went to sleep early, because there was always talmidim. I can remember their names: Avram Kudish, Miltia Desnik, Nathan Orgel, A.B. Ryder. I mean, these were what we grew up with. And you'd think after that, Shabbos morning, maybe sleep late, we never woke up that he wasn't up before us learning. And davening, of course, you had to be on time. Time, not time, means early on time. That was the memories of as a young child. He was a son who lost his parents in 1941 with who perpetuated their memory with a yard site where he sat and learned 6.5 to 8 hours without looking up from a sefer a year ago. Chav Dalet Av. He sat without looking up from a sefer, without getting up from his seat for that longer period. I personally, I have one correction to Rabbi Adler, it was I who learned with him this summer for the first time in 45 years. And started off with Ksubas at the beginning, and then a Linairis. When I got him enlarged Mi'iri, which was easier to learn at, forget it. I was gone. He got lost in the Mi'iri. I got up, walked away, came back. He's still focusing. That was the father. That was the son. He was a husband who helped in home. We can all picture him drying the dishes, standing with an apron. And who I still remember coming back from camp to the old camp deal in the Lower East Side. And we stopped into a store and white chocolate had just come out. And he was so excited to bring home something for his wife, a new treat, the white chocolate. I still remember that very well. He was a father who was there for always for us. It was available for us. He was here. We talked about the phenomenal Talmud Chacham who personified learning with phenomenal Hasmada. But at the same time, he was a father. He was a grandfather. He was a great-grandfather. And he relished those jobs. I took a collage of pictures from the kitchen table, hanging on my kitchen, on my refrigerator now. Every single picture, you see my father holding a different grandchild. Keep in mind that his first grandchild born, he was born when he was 67, and youngest was 92. When I came back from yeshiva, from being out of town, I was already married with children, and I moved back to New York and had the opportunity to learn other aspects of his that I never knew as a child, that besides the Talmidim who came Friday nights and Shabbos afternoons, and the Talmud that he went up to Fordham Road to learn with to keep him connected, that he also, how he made himself available for his Talmidim to learn with them in his office years ago already. Any Talmud who wanted to could come in and learn with him for Seder. We talked about his phenomenal concentration. Later years, recent years, after my mother, Leah Shalom, was Niftaris. So the first year we started going to him for Shabbos, but subsequent to that he came to us for Shabbosos. Friday night, after a meal, you learn for a little while, but most people go to sleep after a while. So if you're, you know, special, you learn an hour, whatever, but then you go to sleep Friday night, right? No, he was sitting and learning, and I couldn't go to sleep before he'd go to sleep. One time my youngest daughter, Shira, relieved me, and I went to sleep and she stayed up. But she said he outlasted her too. When I mentioned that we were pairing about Ksubas this year with the Meiri, but 3 years ago, I believe, the yeshiva learned Yevamos. And I was there the day that he started preparing Yevamos. That was his highlight, by the way. As soon as the office would let him know at Masechta, get the Sfarim, get to work. And I came up there to visit him in the country. And he's sitting and learning with a Chavrusa. I waited an hour. He doesn't look up. I went back to the city, and I called him that night to say hello, told him I was there to visit him. Agav, on a light note, I asked him, no, so how was Yevamos number whatever time that you did it? And he said to me, just as hard as ever. During the summer, these past few years, when he went up to the country, he didn't give his Mishnayos Shir, which he had given for 62 years. Between Micha and Mairiv, year after year since 1952, he gave a Shir of Mishnayos, starting with Talmidim at the time, years ago, who were Talmidim, Baruch Beres Talmidim, different Choshva Talmidim, and then it became simple Yidden. He never came to the Shir without preparing. Even these later years, when he had done it so many times already, and with the Balabatim, will have Dafke people who... But as Rabbi Schechter said, you have to be steps ahead. You have to be prepared for them, no matter who you're saying. But he was a normal person, a regular person too. He would run across Pelham Parkway. I mean, it's the Bronx. I don't know anybody knows what the Bronx is, but Pelham Parkway is a parkway with beautiful park on both sides. And we had a shortcut that we cut through to make it faster to shul. And he would run weekdays on the park and challenge us to try to catch him. Okay, he was already in his late 50s at the time, but that was a father. An old Talmud of Yeshiva here told me how years ago in MTA, the Bachim were in the gym, trying to do chin-ups, whatever. My father walked by the room and saw them struggling. He went in and did some chin-ups for them. It connecting to a bacher. He also was never embarrassed to let them know that he played soccer as a child and how his shins were still black and blue all the years later from the soccer games that he played as a bacher. For those who came to Nachum Oval, you pass through his two beauties, two 10-foot-high evergreen bushes, cylindrical. When he was 96, he was still standing on the ladder trimming them. When we'd walk home from shul on Shabbos, a trip that should have taken 7 minutes, 10 minutes, would take 45 minutes. Every yid was accorded the cover that he deserved. Every person who had something to talk about was given the chance to talk. Every person who had a problem to discuss was given the chance to discuss. My brother Ramosha told me a story about how a yid came to him with a problem with chalomis. My father wasn't, as you heard, into brachas and things like that. And Rabbi Adler took away my best line of the evening about not wanting to give brachas because it would make him a balgaiva. But person persisted. So he told him, you know what? The yid who puts out the mishnayos for the mishnayos shir is not going to be doing it anymore. He moved away. You take it over. That would be your skula for not having the dreams anymore. And kachavin, no more dreams. What was it? It was just plain poshut, you know. It gave him something to do, to focus on. And then everybody started coming for brachas, as my father said. Somebody asked him this summer, how is it in the country? He said, I'm busy entertaining everybody. My daughter Penina told me how she's a young lady, shortly after 30, when we used to come for Shabbos with the children. So we'd go to sleep, you know, Shabbos afternoon. My father took care of the grandchildren, took them to the park. We're talking about 25 years ago. He took care of the grandchildren to the park. My niece Malka graduated high school 2 years ago. My father was there at the graduation. My nephew Shmuel, the youngest grandchild, had a Siyum Scholas Gemara this past year. Zaidi was there. Not only was he there, he spoke. Told them over about the Chofetz Chaim. Spoke for 15 minutes in English. My shviger summed it all up. She said when she was here at the Levaya that she would have loved to stand up and speak. She wanted to say, as was mentioned, he was a Talmud Chacham. He personified that, but he was a gentleman par excellence. He knew how to treat people. He knew how to make people feel good. It's not a stira. Talmud Chacham, personified Torah, but that, other of it's not a stira. It is what one thing. It was mentioned that he stood for, till recently, not recently. I was, visited him Thursday before the Ptira. It was a Sunday too, but I was there Thursday. I was there by Mincha. He was not feeling perfect. I said, maybe sit down for Chazaras HaShatz. A few days before he was Nifter. You don't compromise. You want to know how you get where he got? You don't compromise. No shortcuts. Most of you are young Talmidim. Most of you didn't really know him. But he believed in you. He was extremely proud of you. And he believed that you could aspire to the same things that they aspired to. And you could reach them. A bacher asked him, how did you get to be the way you were? He answered him and he said, what do you think the mirror was, a summer camp? It's summed up with one lashon, Adam la'amol yulad. You could do it. We could all do it. Just remember. And it's not a steer to enjoying life. Adam la'amol yulad is not saying that you can never enjoy your life. Adarabba, you'll enjoy it much better. I'll tell you one secret in life. Steig in your learning, grow in your learning, make it your life. When you get old, you'll have what to do. But remember that he believed in all of you. And you can get there.
Get to hear words from a grandson, Avram Yakovlevich. Is it you? Not here? You're speaking.
I just want to say I wasn't going to talk about my grandfather's consistency, but it's hard to do that when he's standing in front of people who that consistency is not 20 years like by me. Maybe it's 50 years, maybe it's 60 years. I just want to say something that Zaidi would have wanted to have said by his Azkara, and that is that people always ask, what was the secret that he lived so long? And none of us really know the answer. Which is why I think it's fitting that this Azkar is over here, because here in this yeshiva, I think, is the real answer. If Zaidi got up in the morning thinking that he was going up to yeshiva, it's because here in this yeshiva, they gave him that opportunity. If Zaidi pulled through his summer because he's preparing shir, it's because he knew that when he came Raphael, he knew that there would always be, as long as he was here to come, as long as he was alive, there'd always be a shir for him. So I think that this Azkar over here is not just Azkar on my grandfather, it's Azkar on 60 years of Kavod HaTorah and Shema Shachamim. And because I think I was outdone by all the speakers before me, I'm not going to say anything. I just wanted to say over something Zaidi himself said by the Levaya of one of the Rishivas of YU, Rabbi Gelman Zecherno Livracha, something I can't say. I just want to say it over because he would have said it about a different Talmud. Zaidi said, Rabbi Gelman Zecherno, he said that the Nifter held the hand of Rabbi Chanan held the hand of the Chavetz Chaim, and the Chavetz Chaim held the hand of the Ibn Shalom. By me, besides for the Zaidi that you all knew, I'm different than all the other people who spoke. I happen to be a grandchild of Chavetz Chaim, but to me, it was more than just being a descendant of the Chavetz Chaim. With Zaidi, I had a connection to the Chavetz Chaim. It wasn't just a great-great-grandfather who I could trace my ancestry back. It was, to me, when I was in the dining room with my grandfather, the Chavetz Chaim was sitting right behind me, wherever Zaidi was looking. I one time told him that I was learning with my grandfather DSL over the phone, and the concept was so fascinating to him that he told me the Shmuz of the Chavetz Chaim of the Kitzachari Sheagia, that in Moisim Shiach things will be so advanced, because to him everything reminded him of the Chavetz Chaim. Zaidi, whenever you would ask about Chavetz Chaim, he'd always hear with a story, well-worn, famous story about the Chavetz Chaim's furniture. Because to him, I think that wasn't just another story, it was a way of life, that no matter how long you're here, be it as long as my grandfather was, be it as long as his Rebbe, the Chavetz Chaim, was, it's always temporary. Because temporary is not an amount of time, it's an idea. And Zaidi, I think, he lived his whole life with that idea. As the Rishiv president, I remember his name, the dean of YU, said, but Zaidi always felt that he wasn't really here. You felt that part of him was still in Radin, in a previous world, and part of him was heading to the next world. Zaidi was someone whose whole life embodied the words of the Zohar that says, Meshiva Akeres Habayi Ze'alma Ta'asah, this is the bottom world, the world that we're in, and Imbanu Smecha Ze'alma Yiloh, this is the next world. That's something that Zaidi lived, because that's where his Rebbe Chavetz Chaim was, and I think that with Zaidi we could say that he held the hand of the Chavetz Chaim his whole life, and the Chavetz Chaim held the Ribbono Shel'olam's hand.
Next we have words from his son-in-law, Reb Tzedek Firmowitz.
It's a big honor to be able to speak in front of this Olam, as been mentioned before. The family, from the depths of our hearts, feel a tremendous hakara satov to the yeshiva. And in terms of thinking of the secret of his long life, you could say that the yeshiva was mechayehin, no doubt about it, and added years undoubtedly to his life. So we greatly appreciate what the yeshiva has done over the last, number of years, but especially at the end of his life. The Chavetz Chaim, in explaining one of the psukim in last week's parasha, says that it depends who you ask, in terms of whether it's chachma, whether it's wealth, whether you're really getting a real estimation of wealth or wisdom. So you go to a villager and you ask the villager, who's a smart person? The villager will say to you, of the person who, when the letters come from far away and no one in the village knows how to read the letter, so he reads the letter, thus is achuchim. Of course, that's from a villager. When you go to a big university, I suppose, and you want to know what chachma is there, and someone says, this guy is smart, boy, he's smart. You ask a villager who's wealthy, well, a guy who might have two rooms instead of one room in his house. You go to a city, in the city they'll tell you, Rothschild. With this idea, the Chafetz Chaim explains a pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam calls someone a chacham. Do you know what that means when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam calls someone a chacham? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who encompasses all chachma, all wisdom, and he calls someone a chacham, that's a chacham. And if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says that Shaychan, Kimiyaver Enei Chachamim, Bisalef Divrei Tzadikim, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows what he's talking about. And it's because of that, we read in the Gemara, how when a great Talmud Chacham would be, in the slightest way, given a favor, the person disqualified themselves from judging a case. Well, Chanan Wasserman takes it a step further. Says this is not only regarding a judge, someone who's about to judge a case in court, but this is applicable to life in general. And he goes on to explain in Kovitz Mamarin how you can go to the biggest university and with a real big chachamim, and you can have a chair in the university where they discuss atheism and how that's a true way of life. And how a person who the Rambam called the step below Nevuah, Aristotle, could struggle understanding that there is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And he explains it simply by saying that people are motivated by whatever they need to do. It could be laziness, it could be taiva, it could be anything that can get a person rolling in a different and wrong direction. The reason why I bring this up is because when I think about my father-in-law and I think about the different characteristics that everybody's been speaking about, and how he's great in Anava, how he's great in Torah, how he's great in focus. To me, the greatest thing you could say about him, and he really, as they would say, hit his highest note in his last years of his life. People use the slightest excuses to not to do things. Person's laziness excuses away all sorts of lack of activity. People get older, they're self-absorbed. He really, really achieved, in my eyes, his greatest stature in life as his life was winding down. And everyone is talking about how, Baruch Hashem, he was blessed. But let me tell you something. The last 5 years of his life was no picnic. He struggled to get out of a chair. He needed assistance to walk across the room. He didn't have his wife. He lived with a caregiver. Now, everything it was as best as it could be, but as you get older, as great as there could be a situation in a yeshiva, but we know as you get older, you're being cast to the side. You're no longer the the young boys don't want to hear a shir from an old man. And you're pushed to the side. You don't count anymore. You're made to feel that you're a nobody. And you're struggling with loneliness. You're struggling with the debility, not able to be able to do what you push it. You can't, you know, you can't do the things that you always wanted to do. You don't have that strength anymore. And it's within this context he was able to show so much gevura within this context. Not being able to sit at a table, the head of a table, not having your wife. But he made it his business. Not his business. He was in such control. There was no shochad. There was no self-pity. There was no feeling bad for himself. He was able to struggle through all of this. I mean, I could still picture and how many older people in being absorbed in their own futility, of feeling sorry for themselves, wouldn't be able to do things he did, how he jumped to go to every simcha. I could still picture him being handed a newborn, a young little baby, and whether a great-grandchild. The smile on his face was ear to ear. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't a fake smile. The dancing, he couldn't dance at 104. But it's a gemach tanzen. Dancing on both sides. At a dear grandson's wedding, he really wanted to be there. And when we think about a legacy, either in the yeshiva or the mishpacha, the legacy we should have is stop making excuses. Don't allow yourself to pity yourself. This man was with gevura. Mamish, tremendous gevura. You heard before, he stood by Lainey. You know, you don't have to stand by Lainey. He never looked for excuses. You think he was able to really stand easily? And when he had hit a landing, his hearing wasn't so good, so he stood right by the beam to hear the landing. He had a job here. You know, he came. He fulfilled what he needed to do. Despite all odds, despite all Schwerigkeit, he was able to do this. And in terms of myself, and I hope for everyone here, I would say that we should try to take that inspiration, and instead of allowing ourselves to be blinded by the shaychad of, I can't do it, it's too hard, it's too hot, it's too this, it's too whatever, we should take it upon ourselves in his chus to forge on the way he forged on, to work no matter how difficult the circumstances, and do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, to serve Him in the greatest possible way with all of our koichos. Yei Zichro Baruch.
We're going to conclude with a Keil Mali, Yeshiva, Mordechai Willig.
Malay Rachamim Shochein Bamromim Hamsei Minuchonachona Al Kanfea Shechina Bimalos Kidoshim Utorim Kizor Harakiamazirim Es nishmas Moreinu Harav Gershon Ben Reb David Shehalach li'olamo Bahavu Shebli neder. Titain stoko baras koras nishmaso. Began eden. Tehei minuchaso. Lochain baal rachamim. Yastirehu b'seser kinofov li'olamim v'yitzror b'tzror ha'chayim es nishmoso Adonai hu nachaloso v'yanuach b'shalom al mishkovo Vinomar Amen.
There are still some Mishnayos left for the Bnei Yeshiva, or Lay Mishnayos, Zeichu Shmaso. Anyone's interested in still signing up, please see the sheet here over here. We're going to dive in Marav in 1 minute. Yeah, in Yeshiva we were telling us. Yeah, from there, in the middle, there's in